Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come into your house to worship together, to fellowship together. I pray, Father, as I give the word you've given me, Father, I pray it reaches to our hearts. Help us to be thankful for what we have in Jesus Christ. I pray these things in his name. Amen. I was telling the first group I was kind of anxious about this message this week. It's difficult. Not difficult. Different. Being a guest speaker in your home church. I'm being told I got to put my mic on. See, I forget all these things. The year was 1964. I was 14 years old. It was in February of 1964, and I was home. It was about 10 o'clock at night. I'm sitting there in the kitchen listening to a radio. Life was different back then than it is now, so you have to kind of keep that. They didn't have screen TVs and all this kind of stuff. I was listening to Cassius Clay, who became Muhammad Ali. I was listening to him fight Sonny Liston, the bear. Sonny Liston had knocked out Floyd Patterson two times in the first round. Everybody thought he was invincible. Cassius Clay said, "I'm going to win, I'm going to beat you," and called him all kinds of names. And everybody wanted to see this brash young kid from Louisville, Kentucky, lose, except me. I thought he was going to win. I wanted him to win. I was praying he was going to win. And I'm listening to the fight, and it came down to the seventh round, and Clay came out to fight, and Liston was sitting on his bench and didn't come out, and Clay won. He was now the heavyweight champion of the world. And he dancing around the ring, and the radio announcer stuck a microphone in his face, and the TV camera was there, and he looked right in, and he says, "I'm a bad man, I'm a bad man, I shook up the world." You go to 2020 in February, and something shook up the world, but it wasn't a war, it wasn't a bomb, it wasn't military might. It wasn't a politician. It was a little microbe that no one can even see. And it's taken this world by storm. And it's taken our country by storm. The world's largest economic machine brought to its knees by something that you cannot see. If you look in the news today, and you can't help but whether you read the papers, listen to the radio, TV, everything is not very good. Did you realize we're in a presidential race now? Yeah, I guess we do. Are you aware of all the things that are happening, the violence, the hatred, the murder, and the protests, and all the stuff that is going on? And you have to wonder, what's going to be different in November when we have an election? I'll tell you, nothing. Regardless of who wins. One person winning, it may not be as bad as the other, but the bottom line is it's still going to be bad no matter who wins, because the Bible makes it very clear to us that our problems are not going to be solved by our government. God puts people in government there to help rule over us, but they are not going to fix the root cause of the problems that we have. All the things that you see, all the things that you read about, and hear about what's going on and all the violence and all that stuff, it's because of a sin problem that goes into our hearts. And the only way any of these problems are going to begin to get better is when the heart of man is changed. And the only way the heart of man can be changed is through Jesus Christ. And we have all kinds of plans, we have all kinds of problems going on, and we see all kinds of things happening. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, "In the last days, perilous times will come." And he gives a description of all those things that are going to happen in those perilous times. And we are there. What is the solution? What is the answer? The answer is a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Titus writes in Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. "For we also," Paul says, "once were foolish ourselves. We were disobedient. We were deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But, this is where we are now, verse 3. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The only solution is to have a changed life in Jesus Christ. If you have been watching the news over the last few months, about every day you get a daily report of how many people are dying by the COVID virus. And you see how many, almost millions of people now around the world have gotten it, and how many thousands of people have died. And it's really quite alarming to see that. But I want us to think biblically for a minute. The death rate for humanity is 1-on-1. You're born, you die. Whether it's now, later, Job 14:5 tells us that God has our date on the calendar, and that whenever that date comes, that's when we're going to go. We're all going to die until that time when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And the important thing for us is we have to be ready for it. We can't change that. People say, they look around and they see all the disasters and all this stuff, and they go, where's God? Why isn't he doing something? The problem is, God is right where he's always been. If you call upon God, he will hear. But if you don't call upon God, you blaspheme his name and you try to live life as if God doesn't exist, this is what we get. God is here. And it's incumbent upon us as believers to recognize that God may very well, and I believe he is, speaking to us right now. Sometimes we're too dumb to hear. God is speaking to us and saying, get your lives in order. The only way you get your life in order is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus himself said when he was here upon the earth. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to him and says, you know, how can I be saved, basically? And Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how's that going to happen? I can't enter into my mother's womb again. And then Jesus repeats that. By the washing of regeneration, the Holy Spirit, you must be born again. It's not enough to read the Bible and read about Christ and maybe seek his advice on how to live your life. It's not enough to acknowledge that Jesus, when he was here, he did a lot of miracles and he was really, you know, pretty amazing. It's not even enough to say that Jesus came here for a very special mission. He came here to live amongst man and to die upon the cross. It's good that you know that, but it's not enough. You must acknowledge your sin and trust in Jesus Christ. He will save you when you do that. And if you don't acknowledge him, you will not be saved. All you have to do is look around in the world today and see how the name of God is blasphemed, how his word is mocked, to realize that something must be done that's not going to be done by us. It's only going to be done by a work of God in our lives when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible teaches us, Jesus said, you must be born again. What does that mean? What does it mean to be born again? It means to be regenerated. When you generate something, you are making something. So if you are making a pie, you are generating a pie. You put all the ingredients together, you cook it, and you have a pie. Now, when we were born, when our parents came together, our life was generated. We became a person. But we need to be regenerated. We need to have a new life. And that happens to us when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We like to say we've been converted. That's a human view. We're different. Divinely, God speaking, we have been regenerated. We have been given a new life. Regeneration is defined as communication of a divine life to the soul. So when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the divine life of God that we originally had in the garden, but man blew it when he sinned, is now transferred to us so that we are, scripturally speaking, a child of God. And God recognizes us as his child. He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, sort of like a tattoo. So we're a child of God. We're marked. And we can't lose that. We have been regenerated. We have been given a new life. Regeneration is not being baptized. We're having a baptism class starting next week. Have some people to be baptized. That's wonderful. But that's not being regenerated. Regenerating is something that happens on the inside when the life of God is transferred to us. Regeneration is not even really reformation. Reformation is an outside thing. When we are regenerated, we begin to think different. We begin to do different things. We begin to act in different ways. That's okay. But regeneration is inward. God said in Genesis 1:26, he said in creation, let us make man in our image. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image. And that's the way Adam and Eve were created. They could walk with God. They could fellowship with God. They could be in the presence of God and not be uncomfortable. Why? Because God created them for that very special relationship, as we were all created for that very special relationship. But sin in the garden ruined it, and so that relationship went away, and a wall was built up. And only when we trust in Jesus Christ can that wall come down, and can we have fellowship with God in a new creation. We are now a child of God. Are we still going to sin? Yes, we are. But we are a child of God. And the Bible tells us that when the Father looks on us as his children, he looks on us as if we've never sinned. We are a child of God. Praise God. I mean, I know how much I make mistakes, and you know how you make mistakes. You're still a child of God. When God calls us home, we are going to be in his presence, and it does not get any better than that. That's what happens when you're born again. But why be? Because just conscience and the world and everything tells us changes have to come. We're looking to government to bring about changes in our lives that can only happen when we have a relationship with God. Government cannot change our life. Reason and conscience support this as well. We realize that something has to change, and it has to come from somewhere. And it's not going to come from out there. It's only going to come from in here when we look at life different. And the only way we're going to do that is through relationship with Jesus Christ. If we are going to have fellowship with God, we have to be a holy person. Wasn't it the writer in Peter, I think, said, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God expects us as his children to be holy. And so we can only have fellowship with God and be in his presence when we are holy. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we have been changed. And I was telling the first group when I was director of SAC, we would have people come in for the week, and they'd go to their cabins or their rooms or their campsites and everything. And wasn't within, you know, the afternoon that they got there, they kind of found their own, if you know what I mean. They found their own people that they're comfortable with. There are certain people that you and I can hang around and be comfortable, and there's other people, if we were in their presence, not that it would be bad, but we would not be comfortable because they're just not our kind of people. Well, when you have been regenerated and you are holy, you can have fellowship with God because you are his child. Likewise, when you are a child of God, there are things that places and people that you will not be comfortable around just because of their lifestyle and because of their thing. That's not you. Why isn't it you? Because you have been changed. You are a child of God. Humanity is lost. We do wonderful things. I mean, think about society, you know, and how it's changed. I told you about the Ollie Liston fight. You had radio. I don't even think they put it in the movie theaters at the time. I mean, it was just, life was so different back then. And when you called on the phone, remember the dial phone? You know, now I look at those things. I watch old TV shows and I see them doing this and I'm thinking, my goodness. Life has so much changed. We laugh at how primitive stuff was back then. I look at in medicine, the things that we do now, my grandfather with his heart attack, my dad with his heart attack, you know, may have lived through that with the stuff that they have now. They just didn't have it back then. My grandfather had a heart attack. He was in the hospital for 6 to 8 weeks and laid in bed. He didn't do anything. Not now. They tell you to get up and get out and get going. Life is just different. That's the world has changed. But our hearts haven't changed. We are still sinners. We need to be saved. We need to be saved by the grace of God. By nature, when we are born, the Bible speaks of us as children of wrath. The Bible speaks of us as sons of disobedience. John even says we are children of the devil. I was talking in the first service, Isaiah Philo was here. He and Jamie had their child, little Lincoln Maverick. Don't you love that name? Lincoln Maverick. I love it. Cute little child. Born in sin. A sinner who needs to be saved by the grace of God. You say, how can that be? That is the problem mankind has faced. And ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, if you go through the history of the world that's given to us in the Bible, and you see how quickly things just fell, and man walked away from God. God destroyed the world by flood. Started out with basically a good family, and very quickly it was all back a mess again. Why? Because we are born in sin. And sin says, I will do what I want to do, I will do it my way, and no one's going to tell me what to do. And if you don't like it, get out of my way. That's what the world is basically trying to say. But when we are a child of God, we look at life through a different lens, because now we see there is eternal value to my life, eternal value to your life. And if you don't take care of those questions now, when you pass away, you won't get a second chance. You need to trust Christ while you are alive. Jesus said, you must be born again. Only the new birth can produce a holy life that can allow you to please God by what you do. That's the only way it is going to happen. And the only way you can be born again is to place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that the new birth, when Jesus says you must be born again, the Bible teaches us that it is completely of God. There's nothing that you can do. You can't give a lot of money. It's nice if you want to, let you, but that's not going to get you into heaven. You can do good works and cook meals for people and drive them to hospital appointments. You can do all kinds of stuff. Do nice things. Go rake your neighbor's leaves. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but you can. You can go rake leaves and do all those kind of things. But that's not going to get you into heaven. See, it's completely a work of God. You trust in him. He does the work. It's the will of God. John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 12, John writes, talking about Jesus, but as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Notice verse 13 says, you were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but you were born of God. And the Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. That's Christmas. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came down here, left the glories of heaven above. He came down here, took on our form, and lived in our life, and ministered while he was here, and then died upon the cross. And the blood that he shed was good enough to atone for all the sin of everybody for all time. Everyone who has ever been born, everyone who has ever lived, the blood of Christ covered that all. But we have to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, recognize he did that for us, that he gave his life for our sin. We can be good, but if we don't place our faith in Jesus, our sin problem is not going to be taken care of. God's will is that we would be saved, but we have to make that decision to do that. Death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was necessary. The fact that Jesus died upon the cross, it is finished. The sacrifice was done. The fact that he arose again the first morning means that God accepted that sacrifice, and death and sin has been conquered. And we can be here and be very sure that if we were to die today, if we get this COVID and we die, that the moment we pass from here, we will be breathing in the presence of God for eternity, forever and ever and ever. God uses his word to speak to our hearts. All you have to do is read it. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Have you ever been stabbed by a knife? I haven't. I really don't know. I can't explain what that would be like. It has to hurt. But it says the word of God is sharper than that. Why? Because it can pierce to your soul. And it can get you to think about things that we don't want to think about. We're uncomfortable to think about. Why? Because when we do that, we recognize we don't measure up to what God expects of us. It's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. It pierces to our soul, and we recognize, I need to be saved. The prisoner talking to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's a commitment. You are placing faith and trust in Christ. And that Holy Spirit, that supernatural change that comes, the washing of regeneration, the Holy Spirit just like washes over our insides, and the blood of Christ cleanses us, and we become a child of God. That's what happens. And when that happens, some amazing things happen. The Bible tells us that when you have been born again, you're not going to practice sin. 1 John 3:9 says that whoever is born of God does not practice sin. Now, that word practice there, it's a present tense and it indicates habitual. Does it mean that we are not going to sin? I've heard some preachers say when you become a child of God and you're a Christian, you don't sin any longer. That's a bunch of nonsense. We do, but it does not become habitual in our life. When a person without the Lord wakes up in the morning, they don't get up and say, well, how can I sin today? What can I do to really tick God off? No one thinks that. You just go out about your life and you do the things that you're going to do. You don't recognize it as sin or anything else. It's just that's the way you live. And people, they just live that way. Any questions about it? You come into church on Sunday and you look out of the boats on the lake and all that stuff. And people just living their lives as if this is all there is. Well, there isn't. This isn't all there is. There's a lot more. And for those who don't trust in Christ, they're going to find out to their detriment that they've made a big mistake. And so when we have been reborn, we don't practice sin. When we get in the presence of sin all the time, sometimes we begin to feel uncomfortable. Why? Because we know that we shouldn't do it. We have those thoughts that we shouldn't have or those words that we shouldn't say. We still do, but you know it. God, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I do that all the time because, well, you know, we're sinners. We're saved by grace, and the blood of Christ covers our sin, but we still do make mistakes. Not an excuse, but it does happen because we are still here. Original sin infected us, and until the day Christ comes back and are transformed and have a body like his, we're going to struggle with that stuff all the time. But the forgiveness is there because we have entrusted in Jesus Christ. We have been regenerated by the blood of Christ. We have new attitudes towards other people. You know, I don't like everybody, and you don't either. You have to be honest. I mean, there's people we don't like. But that doesn't change the fact that we have to love the world and recognize that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Everyone, and even the most horrendous sinner that you can think of, if that person trusts in Christ, truly trusts and places his faith in Christ, that person will be in heaven. I was talking with someone recently, and this person said to me, if you're telling me that God would accept a person like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know who I'm talking about, that mass killer, if that person would trust in Christ and God would accept him into heaven, that person said to me, looked at me and said, that's not a God that I want. I don't want to be with that God. I was kind of flabbergasted, but I said, well, God saved the sinner on the cross right next to him. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That guy, his life was transformed. That's how wonderful God is. But I'm still working on that person. But that's the world, the way a lot of people think. You know, that's what God's going to do. I don't want any part of it. So who are you to say that? You're not God. You're going to suffer the consequences of that belief, but you're not God. And so, I mean, this is the world we're living in today. But we can have an appreciation for the grace of God, how it saved us, and we can also try to share with others that which has happened to us. We love God's word. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 97, he said this, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The words of God, the word of God is in his heart, and he thinks about it all day. Now, I'm sure that throughout your day, there are times when the word of God becomes very real to you. You see something and you think about it, and you know, the word of God just, you're glad it's there. You're glad you have it. People that don't have the Lord don't have that. They don't understand what joy and peace the word of God can give to a person. I want to close with a story to show you why, what being reborn can do. When you trust in Christ as Savior, your life is different. And regardless of the circumstances of life, you can go through it. We've gone through a time now with this coronavirus, and it's really difficult. And a lot of people don't know what, people are dying, and it's tough. I understand that. But there was a man named Martin Rinker. He was a pastor in Germany in the 17th century, and his town was the main focal point of the 30 Years' War. And so there were soldiers and armies and all around, and because of the war, there was pestilence, there was disease, there was food shortages, there was suffering unimaginable. And in 1 year in that town, 4,000 people died. It wasn't a big city, it was a town. 4,000 people between the soldiers and the local residents, and there were times, because he was the only pastor in town, there were times that he was doing funerals for 50 people at a time. Can you imagine the horribleness of that and trying to need the strength to carry on through that? But it was in that time, going through all that, that he wrote these words, and we've sang them many times. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. I'm getting chills just even reading this. Who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. I read those words. I have a hard time imagining in the situations that he was in that this man could write those. But that shows of a man who was at peace, not only with God, but at peace with himself, and recognizing through all of the turbulence and horribleness going on around him, there is something more. For those of you and I that know Christ, we see all this stuff going on around, we have a concern for it, but we understand there is something else. There is much more, and that can be found in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for loving us, and I thank you for my Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the horribleness of this world, we can still have something to lean upon. Lord, I pray that if anybody here doesn't know Christ, I pray that they would make that decision today. It does make a difference. And Father, we'll give you praise for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn our songbooks to number 195, be thinking about the words as we are singing them.